RTL Original Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the second episode from the fourth season of Song 2. Don't go and tell anyone, but we were also surprised that episode 1 came out when it did. We thought we had a couple of weeks more to go. We will go ahead and blame calendar formatting, however. Right then, excuses out of the way, let's get into this week's episode. And we are back nattering with Rick Witter, singer and founding member of UK Britpop revivalist Shed 7, whose 2023 album A Matter of Time hit number one for a good few weeks and did some tidy business for the band to boot. Not bad for an act that had been written off more times than the end of the Lord of the Rings movies, am I right? Check out the interview I had with Rick available on RTL Play. For now, though, let's see what the Shed 7 frontman has to say on the Song 2 theory. Cheers.
Hi, this is Rick Witter from Shed 7, and you're listening to Today Radio.
In this podcast, I argue that the second song on an album is the album's best or most important. We're asking musicians to tell us if they agree or disagree and to speak a little bit on the importance of track listing. So, Rick Witter of Shed 7, is the second song on an album the album's best or most important? And if not, why not?
No, I don't think it is the most important. I think it's very important, but I don't think it's the most. See where you're coming from. I think once track one's finished, maybe what track two dictates where the album's going next. I always like to put a poppy, most common sounding Shed 7 song as track two on our albums, because it's almost a little bit like a safety blanket. You know you're in for a ride with us. So, for example, on our new album, Kissing California is track two, and that is pure kind of Shed 7 pop. The last album we had, it was called Nothing to Live Down, which is a very similar song to Kissing California in my eyes. And then even if you go back way to the 90s with a Maximum High album, it was a song called Magic Streets, which again is a very kind of poppy Shed 7 number. Don't necessarily think it's the most important song. I think the last track on an album has to be really good because it makes you want to go and re-listen to the whole album again if you listen to the last track and you're loving it so much, which is why I would put Throwaways last on our album. You'd wrap your arms around But for us, we are very, very picky on track listings. We spend an awful lot of time and effort thinking about it. We don't just willy-nilly just throw them all on. Even when we're writing a set of songs, for example, when we wrote Let's Go, we knew it was going to open the album, even though we hadn't finished writing the entire album yet. We just knew that was going to open the album. But then, yeah, exactly. Yes, it's a statement of intent. It's Shed 7's inner rock beast rearing its ugly head and gnashing its teeth. But when we do have a set of songs and we've got enough for an album, we do sit there and we work out what's going to flow, you know, what's going to work next to a different song. And it's very important. It's got to tell a journey. Certainly this album definitely does that. Down to the point where I've been discussing about gaps. I don't know if you know about the gaps that we've been discussing over the past few weeks. When you get to the mastering stage, we are very keen on making whoever's mastered it make sure the gaps are different lengths. So basically the little pauses in between songs. I'm a big fan of songs, certainly at the beginning of an album, songs jumping in quite quick. So you'll notice on our new album, the first song, Let's Go, is like 2.5 minutes long and it's quite rocking. And then there's hardly any gap between track one and track two, and there's not much of a gap between track two and track three. So basically, it's a statement of intent in itself. We're not giving the listener time to breathe, basically, but they won't know why. They won't really get why, but it is because of the little gaps. And then you can kind of extend the gaps by milliseconds between track three and track four because it's a slightly slower song. So you're basically going wham without people really understanding or realising why. We probably spent 2 or 3 days arguing over email about how long the gap should be in between each song.
You probably know where I'm going with this, though. I know we've got to close up here, Rick, but I just want to speak about Change Giver, because it was Speakeasy was the second track on that, and arguably that was one of your biggest early hits.
Yes, very true. Yes, I forgot about that one. I'd like to go back and re-record all of that album, because I sounded about 11 on it.